Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Sanctuary. I'm your host, Minister Tracy McKelvin, and I'm here to encourage you to jumpstart your worship of the Heavenly Father this morning with word and encouragement, and most of all, truth. I want to start this morning with a word of prayer. Father, dear God, we just thank you and glorify you for your word is true and every man made alive. Father, we thank you that we can stand in your presence, Father God, and come before the throne of grace and mercy and obtain favor. This morning, we come boldly presenting your word to you to remind you, Father, of your word so that we can send it out and it comes back not void to you, Father God, but encouraging and blessing us, Father God, causing us to carry out your will. So as we go forth this morning, Father, I decree so that you may increase in me your spirit to give fresh manna to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning again. And this morning I come to you with the word that has been strong in my spirit all week long. And it, matter of fact, I will be honest and say that my spirit has been somewhat grieved this morning. I mean, it's been grieved during the week, but it was grieved even more this morning as I focused in on the word. And the question I have to ask is, being that we know that we are in the last times, we as believers, we as faith walkers, we as those that say that we are of the body of Christ, what will it take for us to understand that God's word is true? I mean, he's showing us in so many ways, and he has given us so much in his word to believe and understand that. Why can't we find ourselves the more doing what he has called us to do? I watched a video from Prophet Brian Karn back from 2010. And in this video, he was talking about how perversion and deception has crept in on the body of Christ to the point that we don't even recognize God's presence anymore. When we're operating in the body of Christ, we are operating more in our gifts instead of under the anointing. You know, that's a scary place to be, to know that you are deceiving the people of God with your gift, but your anointing is gone. And the proof of that is Saul. It's in Kings, I believe, in where Saul was king for 40 years, and he was pursuing David, trying to kill David, and knew that David was chosen by God, but he done everything to annihilate what God was doing. So God took his spirit away from Saul. And so as Saul operated in the position of king for 40 years, he did it without God's anointing. He only had God's anointing on his life for 2 years. But God allowed him to remain king up to 40 years. Now, that should let us know that God has great mercy on us to allow us to remain in a position and operate in our gifts and callings. But what he is actually doing is that he is letting you know that you have some time. He's giving you some time to get things together to receive him once again, to repent and come before him, repent and come to him, you know, so that he can give his anointing back to you. Now, that is something that God would, you know, the way Brian Karn said it was that God says he is the only boss that can keep you working even after he fires you. And that's, like I said, that's a scary place to be. He allows you to work in your gift and your calling, but his anointing is not on you. And that is because you need to repent. The scripture I'm going to come from this morning is 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And starting at the first verse, and it says, "This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, that is, like I said, is what's going on now. God has given us every inkling that these times will come. He said that he would never leave us clueless. He never left us, never forsake us. But he's letting us know that these times have come. That we're here. We're in the middle of it. We see wars springing up. We see earthquakes, tornadoes, all kind of natural destruction. We see children being disobedient to their parents, children killing their parents. We see even the law that's supposed to service and protect us even turning against us. My question again to you, body of Christ, what more is it going to take for us? Now, we know that those the world loves its own, and there are people out there that are lost. But our duty is to reconcile them back to God. Our duty is to uphold one another. Our duty and the will of God, what he has commanded us to do, is to be truthful, worship him in spirit and in truth. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We, it's just as if these are words written on paper to us. What more is it going to take for us as the body of Christ to receive what God has laid before us and operate and walk in what he has called us to do? What is it going to take for us to enter into true praise and worship? What is it going to take for us to embrace the truth? What is it going to take for us to encourage our brothers and sisters and to go out and get those that are lost? What is it going to take for us to operate in the faith that he's given us? Our faith should no longer be a mustard seed. It should be a whole tree. It should be. By this time, as we operate in the body of Christ, what is it going to take us to love unconditionally? You got people in prison, and you have people in prison to themselves. And we will sit there and we will look at them and talk about the situation and judge the situation, but we won't operate in love. That is where I am this morning, saying, what more is it going to take for us to understand that Jesus is soon to come? And how is he going to find us? He's coming back for a church without a spot or without a wrinkle. And half of us look like, well, I won't say half, a great deal of us look like we haven't even been to the laundry, more or less, him coming back for a church that is has no spot or a wrinkle. We, as the body of Christ, must understand that perversion and deception should not have any place in us. Perversion and deception should be what we are delivered from and delivering others from. We should not be operating just in our gifts and in our callings. We should be operating under the anointing of God. And I would be afraid to know that God's anointing is not with me. And don't say you don't know, because we do know when God's presence is with us. Because he said that they will follow with signs and wonders for those who don't believe. So we should have more fruit that abounds with us than more fruit that's just ripened on the vine and become rotten and fall into the ground. God's going to hold us accountable for that fruit that's fallen to the ground and rotten away. He said their laborers are few. The fields are white. And it's time for harvest. And we sitting on the porch picking our teeth, waiting for somebody else to go and get the harvest. But that's not the way it happens. We have to be careful to not offend those that are lost. We have to go out to them and bring them in on genuine love. So what I'm here to do this morning is to jumpstart you. I'm here to encourage you with the word, letting you know that no longer do you need to be having a form of godliness. So that means no longer do you need to be that one that has a gift that's in vain. No longer do you need to be that one that has a calling and you won't go. No wonder this is happening. The perilous times have come upon us, and all we can do is sit and look at the news and say, oh my God, look what happened over in Kathmandu. Oh my God, look at this volcano that just erupted again. Oh my God, ISIS has gotten more people. No longer do we need to be those people that are saying or ooh and ah. The things that are happening now shouldn't even surprise you, but what it should do is push you to work hard for the kingdom. You want the kingdom benefits? Well, you got to do the kingdom work. And the kingdom work says, is this not the fast I've called you to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to bring in the outcast into my house? That's what kingdom work is about. The kingdom work also says that we are ministers of reconciliation. The kingdom work says that we are to compel others to come. The kingdom work says that we're to get between the altar and the porch and cry aloud. The kingdom work says we're to cry aloud and spare not. The kingdom work says that he wished that no man should perish. That's what the kingdom work calls us to do. The map is laid before us. Our steps have been ordered. So, walk. We are supposed to be on the highway of holiness. And he said nothing wayward would be upon it. But we are supposed to be traveling to Zion. Why are we going to Zion? To praise and to worship God for allowing us to do his will. So I encourage you this morning, as you prepare yourself for your morning worship, as you go into the house of God for corporate worship, not individual. He said we're supposed to forsake not the fellowship. So as you're fellowshipping this morning, remind your brothers what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to be reminding each other in love, in agape love, that we have a work to do, and it is now. It is now. We should be ever learning and also coming into the knowledge of the truth, not ever learning and never able to come to the truth. And that is what's happening. Pray for your leadership. Pray for your leadership, because the job is heavy upon them.
60 seconds.
The job is heavy upon them. And we do not need perversion and deception, pulling them away and letting them lead us just under a calling. They need to lead us by the anointing. Amen. Amen. I want to let you know that Sunday Sanctuary is going into a new format coming into next Sunday. It was supposed to happen this Sunday, but some things technical have not changed yet. So what we're going to be doing by next Sunday, we'll be going to a 30-minute show. It's going to be awesome. We hope soon to go into streaming where we could be seen just as well as heard. So we want to let you know that this show is growing by leaps and bounds. God is doing a marvelous work to bring his word to his people in these perilous times. But what I need you all to do is give. And I'm not talking about give your money. Give a promotion to the show by by telling others to tune in on Sunday mornings just for a few moments to worship before you go to worship. And that's all that we need from you. We need from you is your support. That's all we need. And we love you to let you know that God's word is true. Like I said at the beginning, and every man made a lie. But I encourage you this morning to give God's word to the next man. I don't care if they already say, touch them on the shoulder and let them know that God's word is true and that we must operate in the anointing and not just our call. So I love you on this morning. I pray that your worship is strong, powerful, and leaving signs and wonders in the earth. So enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you next Sunday in Sunday's Sanctuary.